This is William Hill Racing Radio.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel with you on the latest edition. Looking ahead to the best of Monday's action. There's racing at Plumpton, Wolverhampton and Ayr to look forward to on Monday. First things first, Paddy, how's things? Everything all right?
Yeah, good form. Alex, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. I've not looked at you. Are you running at Wolves tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yep.
Are we looking at a race that you've got to run in?
No, not one. I'm in early doors. I'm in 2:55. Archie Stevens, he ran there the other night, actually finished third. So he's back out again tomorrow. It's literally a carbon copy of all the ones he turned up against the other night. So apart from the winner in the second who beat me, but he's better drawn there, and it's he'd certainly have a chance. He was $3,000 out of a seller at Southall, so he's been, you know, he was a very good claim by Matt Watkinson, who owns him. So hopefully he'll get his head back in front soon.
Okay, fingers crossed for Archie Stevens then in the Wolves 2:55. You see, a bit of bonus information for you there, listeners. We weren't even going to talk about that race.
Yep.
We'll get to Monday's racing shortly. It's a typical Monday otherwise, isn't it? Plumpton, Wolverhampton, Ayr. Pretty much what you'd expect for a Monday. Nothing too flash, but it's competitive in its own right, isn't it?
It is, certainly. And even, to be honest, the two races that I've actually done at Wolves, they're very competitive, to be honest. Mm. Alex, so yeah, I mean, you've got Plumpton and Ayr are your regular Monday meetings, but it's just a bit. I mean, Ayr is obviously going to be very deep ground, a bit better Plumpton there, good to soft in places, so can't really complain, really.
Okay, we'll start just by talking about the Cheltenham Gold Cup, of course, not far away now from the Cheltenham Festival, and I know that regular listeners to the podcast, well, they may be sick of people talking about it. They may think, oh, good, at least we get a different view from different people. I certainly know that I haven't spoken about the Gold Cup, and I certainly haven't spoken to you about it, Paddy, but I just thought it'd be interesting to get your view. Obviously, with Thistlecrack out, I think this race is absolutely wide open now. Mm-hmm. Native River's the 5-2 favourite as we record this. It's 3-1 for Q-Card. Jackadam at 5s. Outlander is 8-1, as is Sizing John. Empire of Dirt at 12s, Champagne West 14s, 16s then for Don Polly and Vroom Vroom Mag, Bristol Demi 20s, as is more of that, and 25s or bigger the remainder. We are non-runner insurance on every race now at the Cheltenham Festival, so if you back a horse and it doesn't run at the festival, you'll get your money back as a free bet to be used at the festival, and if you back a horse and it runs in another race at the festival, you'll get a free bet as well. So bit of insurance there for you, because there are some, obviously. Vroom Vroom Mag is entered in every single race that I've done a preview for, so it is hard to know where she's going to end up. But I think this year it screams Lord Windermere's year all over again. Not that Lord Windermere is going to win it, but just not convinced by those at the head of affairs, not massively convinced anyway. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of the ones we've not even mentioned there in the betting could spring a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, one that's gone under the radar, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. In a way, with the whole Thistlecrack thing, there's two sides to it. Obviously, it'll be disappointing not to see such a fabulous horse, but obviously it has blown the whole job wide open. But, I mean, I think Colin Tizard made a good statement the other day about, you know, Q-Card, he's 3-1 in the betting, but people aren't really talking him up as a real, real Gold Cup winner simply because he's 11 years of age. Mm. But, you know, off the back of what we've seen, apart from Thistlecrack, who he finished second to in the King George after mixing it with him from a good way out, you know, he's turned up every time, Q-Card. And I mean, we've seen him at Ascot the other day, absolutely mullered that lot he ran against. You know, it was one of his best performances probably in a long time. So I certainly think Colin Tizard is right that it is his age that is just sort of overshadowing him a little bit as regards how lively a chance this horse has. Mm. Because, you know, if we go back to Cheltenham 12 months ago, nobody knows what would have happened if he'd have stopped on his feet. Mm. And it's something that will always be unanswered, but he was bang there. Because for me, Jack Adam has just had very little luck fencing-wise around there. I love Native River. And like that performance at Newbury the other day showed he's got more to his armour than just killing the opposition.
Yeah, do you think he's... And this isn't meant in a disrespectful way. Has he got the quality to win a Gold Cup?
Well, I just think he's so simplistic jockey-wise for his rider because he jumps, he travels, he's uncomplicated. And like I've said, just getting back to Newbury the other day, he's shown he doesn't have to turn it into a dogfight. He's got a bit of class, this horse. Mm. So... Before Newbury, if you'd have asked me if I'd have considered him a Gold Cup horse, a real Gold Cup contender, I'd have probably said he'll turn up and he'll give his running. Probably wouldn't be good enough on the day to win it, but on the back of Newbury, although it was a small field, because of how Aidan Coleman rode him, and he was still able to produce the performance he did and actually show a bit of pace, you know, my opinion changed on the horse.
And as for cue cards, I know we've touched on it already, but... I think a lot of people are remembering how ordinary Cue Card did look against Thistlecrack.
Yeah.
But you can almost excuse him that. Well, I mean, there's nothing in the field with Thistlecrack's ability. And if you take that run out of it, Cue Card's done nothing wrong this season.
He hasn't. And
not that he did much wrong on that occasion.
Not at all. That's it. But that King George performance from Thistlecrack was just outstanding. Mm. And it was a horse on his day... He performed to his absolute maximum. Now, you could say he didn't perform to his maximum at Cheltenham, but there's a few factors now, because unfortunately the horse who beat him by the shortest of margins passed away in doing so. Mm-hmm. And now you're probably thinking he's got a leg from that effort also. Mm. So he's had to bust the gut. Now... Cue Card got beat and, you know, look, he was the winner hands down of the King George Thistlecrack. But that was him on a massive, massive going, I won't say going day, but it was just such a fantastic performance.
Freakishly good, wasn't it?
Freakishly good. And on the other side of the bat, I think Thistlecrack bumped into Manny Clouds at Cheltenham that day, where he performed, and the stats are there to back it up, the numbers, the figures, I mean, that... He ran a career best. Now, and like I say, in doing so, he passed away. Mm. And you would imagine on the back of it, that's where he's picked up this leg injury. Mm. Now, horses do that through effort. You know, it's not just that he's physically hit his leg. He's done that for a strain, through pressure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, it probably backs up his Cheltenham run again for Thistlecrack, although he suffered defeat. So... Getting back to the main point here, Cue Card's performances this year, although beaten King George Day, taken into his Ascot run the last day, he's bang there, Alex. Mm. He's bang there, and that is the only thing you could and shouldn't really knock him for is his age, because he certainly isn't reflecting any of that at the minute, his years. And although there are younger legs in there, I don't think there's as much ability.
Okay, so Cue Card at 3-1, would that be your idea of the winner?
Well, I just think, you know, it'll be forever a question of what would happen last year. But for me, he'd have gone very, very close. So he'll be going back there to gain his comeuppance this time round.
And as I said, if there is a lurker in the field, I have no idea what it'll be at this stage.
For me personally, I like Empire of Dirt.
Okay.
You know, he's low mileage.
12-1 shot.
Yeah, he's reliable. He jumps. He's been on all the big tracks in Ireland and was probably a little bit unlucky the last day because he didn't have an awful lot of room to manoeuvre up the straight when he finished, I think he was second or third and went down fighting. And at 12-1, he's there with a sporting chance.
Okay, so Cue Card at 3-1 and Emperor of Dirt at 12s. Two to look at in the Gold Cup for Paddy. We'll move on to Monday's racing then. We'll start with the Plumpton 235. It's a Novices Limited Handicap Chase over almost 2.5 miles. Just the five runners here, but hard to know where to start here. You've got some horses coming off the back of a win, like Mr. Fitzroy. You've got City Supreme, who's been very consistent. Golan Dancer tends to be fairly consistent as well. And Poker Enix is, I think, a really interesting contender here that could be going off a very short price favourite, could be going off the outsider of the field. You never really know with these JP types, do you? But eventually more will be expected from Poker Enix.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. And he is certainly one that people are going to have to keep an eye on and just see where he goes in the market, really. But, I mean, at the weights, Golan Dancer is getting a fair lump of weight here, 10 stone 3. And whereas the next one up is the McManus horse. He's got 11-3, then Bag and Turf 11-6. So Golan Dancer has, look, he's not got that weight by accident. But for me, he's probably the only one here that I would like to rule out.
Okay.
You know, because I think they're, the other four are all there with a great chance. The one I did like was City Supreme. Off a mark of 119, and the fact that Connections are confident enough to come back and trip, because, you know, they've been campaigning and very consistently over 3 mile just recently, but, you know, they're coming back to 2 mile 3 here.
Chasing debut as well, isn't it?
Yeah, chasing debut, but don't worry about that at all, Alex, because obviously if Connections are willing to put him into it, although it's a limit, a novice handicap, it's still a handicap first time.
Yeah.
So he's obviously been pretty smart on his feet at home in his schooling, so they're happy to go in. And the one thing about, if you see City Supreme at the start tomorrow at Plumpton, he's got the stature to make a chaser. You know, he looks every inch, and what he's done over hurdles is pretty decent, really, because all day long he looks like he wants to be jumping the larger obstacles. But nonetheless, he's been very consistent, and he's been quite a good money spinner over hurdles for Connections. But gets to race here off a mark of 119. Like I said, his handicap debut, fencing debut, but carries 11 stone 7. But it's very, very consistent, and comes here off the back of a very, very good course run as well last time, albeit over 3 mile. But the fact that, you know, that they're switching to the larger obstacles tomorrow, I think Connections are, you know, they're making a good choice here to come back and trip, because I do think that this horse, for me, is every inch a chaser, Alex.
Okay, City Supreme gets the nod then in the Plumpton 235. The Wolverhampton 355 is the next race that we are going to discuss. We'll move to Wolverhampton. And it's a handicap over 6 furlongs, 13 of them to choose from here. Once again, plenty of consistent types, but not that many, barring Rich Again, that really enjoy sticking their head in front or haven't done of late.
Yeah, I mean, your typical sprinters, you know, they will win in their turn, or most of them will. Now, unfortunately for listeners, I've gone for probably the trickiest customer in the whole field, right down at the bottom in Steel River.
Yeah,
I like this horse. And
I think we were on air on Saturday when Jamie Spencer gave it a ride that came in for criticism on a day when Jamie Spencer got quite a bit of criticism.
But the thing is,
that's how he has to be ridden.
Yeah, and the fact that Jamie Spencer rides a horse like this, you could be pulling your hair out at times. But he is ultra talented, this horse. And, you know, I've got great respect for the trainer, Dave Barron. And he's double-handed here. He's Fast Track, who's certainly more reliable. But I've gone for Steel River because I think the fractions here are going to be very strong. There's plenty of pace on up front. He's drawn out deep enough in eight. But it doesn't matter where he's going to be drawn. The pilot is going to ride him.
Slot him in.
He's going to slot him in and ride him for a bit of luck. Now, these aren't bad horses, these. But the likes of Bosham and Michal of Michael Harrington's, these are quick horses. And they like to get on with it. Now, the fact that we have got so much early speed in, They might not go straight too quick.
Yeah.
But like I said, they aren't bad horses, so it's not like they're going to absolutely collapse and fall in a heap. But Steel River's a very capable horse. And if he can get a nice toe into this race, I mean, look, he wants delivering on the line. And obviously, Connections know that, and the jockey will be aware of that as well. I'm sure he's seen plenty of them. But of a mark of 84, and for me, sort of looking ahead as to how the race is going to pan out, I think he's got a massive chance. He isn't one to go in too heavy on because of his strike rate.
Yep.
But he is very, very talented. And if the race pans out how I think, he's got to be in the money for me.
And at the same time, you might be a bit of a monkey, but you don't get a mark of 84 by accident, do you? So
no, exactly. And to be fair, the last day, he didn't actually run too badly at all for him, because the race didn't pan out in his favour and he still made up a fair bit of late headway.
Okay, we'll move to the 4:25 at Wolverhampton next. This is a handicap over a mile and a half. It's the turn of the stayers. And similar sort of story, really. A few of these are in decent enough heart of late, some that have got plenty to prove. But on one bit of form or another, it'd be pretty hard to rule a lot of these out. It's got a quite open look to it, this one.
Yeah, it's a tight contest. And in the end, it was difficult enough for me. But I'd actually plumb for the horse at the top. The Gay Cavalier.
Okay.
Adam Kirby gets on quite well with this horse. He's a bit of a boy as well, but he's very, very capable. The one thing that does worry me is he's got no form around Wolverhampton. He generally turns up around Lingfield. And now, on the back of it, that run the last day where he finished ninth, it might actually look quite disappointing, but he didn't actually run too badly at all. He didn't get a great passage round. He wasn't beat that far. And back in this grade, I think he's got a massive chance. Kirby back on him. He's not ridden him for a bit, but he does get on well with him. Mm-hmm. But it's a tight, trappy race, but he's very, very capable, this horse. And, you know, he's in here with top weight because the handicapper thinks he's the best there is in the race. But I just think if Kirby can have his usual effect on him, he's got to have a chance here. And at the same time, his price will reflect that, and he will offer a little bit of value.
And of those that arrive in the race in any kind of form, I mean, Brigadoon down, you'd have to say that they're not arriving in the best form, maybe with the exception of Heartlocket. Everything else that is in decent enough form is actually very, very close to him weight-wise.
Yeah, I think Heartlocket, with the seven off, I know it's an inexperienced seven, but with the seven off, he's very well handicapped, one now.
Yeah.
But you've obviously got to take into account that the jockey does claim seven and hasn't had many rides.
And again, over a bit further, sometimes that really does show. Over five furlongs, if you've got a horse that's an absolute speedball, you can almost, as an inexperienced jockey, let him go and you end up looking all right. Over a mile and a half, you've got to be tactically spot on and strong enough, haven't you?
You will, yeah.
Final race we're going to focus on comes from Ayr. It's the 4:45, a handicap hurdle over two and the extended 2.5 mile trip. Eight runners down to go to post here. Where should we start here? Rydell Racer, Strong Economy?
Yeah, this was another fairly tight affair, to be honest. Rydell Racer, model consistency, but I do think the handicapper, maybe in this grade now, has him roundabout where he wants him. Mm-hmm. He'll turn up, as he always does, and he'll run his race, but maybe just going forward, I was a bit keener to be on the locally trained Strong Economy. Mm-hmm. Now, this horse, there's no doubt about it, its form has improved a fair bit since joining the Smith Yard. Mm-hmm. He's a local trainer to Ayr, and actually all five runs that he's had for this trainer, they've all been at Ayr. Mm. But he's not done an awful lot wrong at all. One last time, and it's a track that the trainer himself, obviously being local, does quite well at. But handicapper gives him an opening mark here of 1-2-2. Now, look, it's enough because that race it won the last day, although it won it fairly nicely. Whether it warrants a mark of 1-2-2, I'm not so sure. But, you know, he is only 5 years old and gets in there of a nice racing weight. 10 stone 9, Stephen McQueen will take 5 off. 10 stone 4, because conditions are going to be fairly desperate up there tomorrow.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
You know, but the fact that he's shown a real liking for the track because, like I say, since the trainer has taken him on board, he's not run anywhere else. So, you know, he's shown that he acts around the track and just seems to be improving with his racing. And he's going to have to improve again and come forward. But I do think the trainer has found a winnable race, and it's quite a nice little pot as well. And Steve McQueen gets on well with the horse. But it won't be one for the faint-hearted tomorrow watching Ayr, because they're going to be steady fractions and it's going to take a bit of getting.
Okay, but Strong Economy gets the nod in the 4:45. Great stuff, Paddy. Great chatting to you. Best of luck with your ride at Wolverhampton tomorrow, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.